Log Talk Radio.
You back, y'all.
This is Rated R.
This is the Movement 720. And I'm your host, OG Bim Bim. It's funny that this song is playing in the background right now, because you know this situation about the marathon really is amazing, y'all. As always, I want to allow an opportunity to all of our callers and call in. We want everybody to tune in, you know, trying to make sure everybody's on board. So, as we always do, we're going to allow our callers an opportunity to call in. There are a lot of different states in the house. I appreciate y'all. We say no more. Time to rally up the truth. As usual, it's gonna be noise in the box. As always. But we allow people to enjoy themselves and enjoy the environment. But we need everybody to focus on the message. Because we do have a message. And that message today is say no more. I'll break that down to y'all in a few minutes. First and foremost, I want to start this show off with a moment of silence for our deceased brother, Kenneth, a.k.a. K. Real LeBron. With that being said, I want to start off by saying a lot of things occurred today that we really wasn't prepared for. Well, I know I wasn't. For those who listen, I promise my brother that I keep his name alive. And his brother was the reason why I began feeling the way I felt about this word recidivism. He spoke it a lot to me. he talked to me about how he didn't want to see guys on the inside continue to repeat that process. And his prison reform thing was something major to him. On July the 9th, he lost his life due to stomach cancer that he didn't have before he was incarcerated. And it means a lot to me and a lot of people that we continue to move forward with this vision and this movement. His brother lost his life with this movement on his heart and his mind. And it's our responsibility to keep it alive. With that being said, we say no more. Y'all bear with me. This rally that's coming up on July 29th is very, very, very vital. It's very important. And we're going to allow the people who brought this forth to speak on that in every sense. We also have some other special guests lined up for today also. But I want to start this off with a quote that I read this morning from somebody that I gave my word I was going to repeat this. A guy by the name of Big L. He started off with the words of God. He said, "We will go through the fire and not be burned. We will go through the flood and not drown. We've been through a lot of we've been through a lot in our personal lives as well as a whole. But one thing God hears is our cries. These present, and I emphasize the word present, sufferings are nothing to be compared to the glory that he shall reveal in us. God is doing big things for us. Keep the faith." I appreciate you for that, Big L. I want to start off by talking about the word rally. As we always do, we try to educate the callers and the listeners on what our topic is about and what our focus is, so that we all be on the same page. The word rally, defined as a verb, it was the first thing I seen was of troops who come together again in order to continue. I emphasize the word continue, fighting after a defeat or dispersion. The second definition was to recover or cause to recover in health, spirits, or poise. Now, as I looked at the noun version of this definition, it said a mass meeting of people making a political protest or showing support for a cause. Also, a quick or marked recovery after a reverse or a period of weakness. Last but not least, a summoning of strength or courage after weakness or dejection, which is defined as lowness of spirit or depression. This word rally, I took the word troops out of that. And when you look at the definition of the word troops, the first thing you see is soldiers. Also a group of soldiers. But I also want to define it as, I also saw a group of people of a peculiar kind. Particular kind. Now, when I thought of the word particular, the word peculiar came to mind, and I thought of a verse that I always had heard my auntie say. It was 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are a chosen people." And in certain Bibles, they replace the word peculiar with chosen. But you are a chosen people, a holy nation, God's special possession. I'm emphasizing certain words for a reason, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a world of light. And I want to also add his grace and freedom. With that being said, for the callers that's online right now, these people that come together, people like, I call her Mama Candle. I'm going to get that understood right now. That's what we go call her, because y'all gonna get a chance to see why I feel like that, because she's like a mother for these guys right now. And I'm gonna give her an opportunity to let them see that for themselves. And Miss Kathy McComber, they've been very instrumental in pushing this movement, pushing this agenda. And I was talking to her, I think it was Guy City, 92.3 hot hits in Atlanta. yesterday, and I was saying how these guys on the inside are looked at so negatively, but nobody's taking the chance to talk about their accomplishments. Nobody's took the time to talk about the good things that these guys have done that placed them in the category of people that are fit for society and also to be leaders. I'm going to take the time to do that. First and foremost, these guys are in a situation where they rarely get the opportunity to educate themselves because the Mississippi Department of Corrections gives almost $960,000 a year on average for education. Those guys are not getting that opportunity. We've covered this on several shows. The teachers come to the prison, but they don't let the inmates come out and go to class in certain prisons. And it denies them the opportunity to advance. It denies them the opportunity to rehabilitate themselves and educate themselves and put themselves on a better, you know, more of an advantage of making it in the world of freedom. And instead of these guys sitting up moping about it, you know what I'm saying? They took the opportunity to write ARPs and things like that. And when that didn't work, they decided to take it upon themselves through correspondence and find ways to educate themselves. Some of these guys have managed to incorporate themselves to the point to where they are certified to teach classes and give certificates through a college. The outside of this was amazing to get this accomplished. A foundation for the youth, LX3, where they offer Bible study classes and give out certificates upon completion and help these kids with school supplies and things like that. This is from guys on the inside. An app. And so many more things. I don't want to, you know, ruin their surprises, but these guys are not sitting up in a prison cell thinking of being criminals. They want to leave. They're taking the opportunity and taking advantage of their opportunities to advance and better themselves and be leaders on the inside. They're guiding other guys toward education, where the system who's getting paid by taxpayers to educate these guys, they're taking the initiative to do these things themselves. A lot of taxpayers don't know this. All they see on the news is, you know, inmates get found with contraband, this and that. But, like, here lately, if you've been paying attention on all the social media outlets, these guys have sacrificed. They've even been retaliated upon after this. I do want to say one incident, having guys standing in the rain for almost an hour in the cold because some of the pictures came out of this area. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you punish these guys like this? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just a sign of how evil these people, you know, treat these inmates. But y'all seen the rodents, you know what I'm saying, the holes in the wall, the insects, the mildew, the meals that they serve them, how they treat the trays after they serve them. You know, so many things, like the water is contaminated, you know what I'm saying? It's awful. Inhumane is not a word I want to continue to use. It's just sad. And throughout these living conditions that they have to live in, for years of fighting, pushing, being lied to, and I'm going to be honest, by politicians, by some of these organizations that said that they cared and that they was going to step up. These guys have gone through this. So a lot of these guys have been discouraged, but they continue to push, though. Guys like, you know, Kendon Brown, they lost their life fighting. And it's like all these trials and tribulations that they've went through, all these things that they've suffered, they've had to face, they still remain positive and productive. Please understand what I'm saying. They still remain, throughout all of the oppression that they suffer, they still remain positive and productive. That's not what you call a criminal. That's what you call a child of God. That's what you call a human being. And taxpayers pay money to make sure that they're treated as such, as human beings. Not, you know, once they get their sentence, that's their punishment. The prison part is supposed to be the rehabilitation part, where they go to change, to be punished by not being around their family members and loved ones and having their freedom but use the opportunities and things that's provided on the inside to rehabilitate themselves. But if they're not having access to this, what are they supposed to do? Locking guys down for the whole entire state for weeks and months at a time because people escape. But when you do research, you find out that there's holes in the roof that's been unprepared for months at a time, destroyed by the, not the inmates, but the K-9 units as they search for contraband. All of this stuff you can find on ITV, The Movement, on YouTube. We have a series of videos called Exposing MDOC. You will get an opportunity to see all of the atrocious acts committed by MDOC to these inmates and see how bad the living conditions really are. With that being said, all you guys on the inside, family members of guys on the inside, you cried out for a while. I've heard your cries. I've suffered pain with you guys. We created this platform so that you will have a voice. We've been fighting with you since the beginning, and we will fight to the end. I give you my word on that, but I need you guys to understand that it's at a point to where you've been heard. You've been heard by people that experience the same pain that y'all family members go through, and they took a stand. A lot of people didn't know about the things that's been going on, the lost lives, the cases of cancer, for unknown reasons. Deaths for unknown reasons, 6 in this month alone, 16 in the month of August of 2018. A lot of these things that look just like genocide are unanswered. They're not reporting these things the way they should be. A lot of parents are being lied to. We're trying to expose this, and we have people that's fighting for that. They understand. They're walking through the fire with you guys. And I want to say that you don't have to say no more. We're at the point right now where we're being asked not to say no more because actions are about to be taken. With that being said, I do want to invite Mom on here. She gonna cut up now, but I'm gonna let Kathy introduce herself and come on first, and then we go take off with Mom because you're in a treat. You're in for a treat with both of them. These are y'all people right now. Look at Kathy. Mac Oldman, how you doing
hey,
today?
Hey, Vincent. I'm right here. Hey, y'all.
All good. So, could you please introduce yourself and, you know, just have at
it? Okay, yeah, sure thing. So my name is Kathy McComber. I actually live in Fort Worth, Texas. And I have a loved one that's incarcerated in Mississippi, and he was sentenced to life without parole at the age of 15, and he just turned 30 last month. And so back in 2012, they had the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional to give a juvenile life without parole, and ruled that all the states have to, you know, revisit the issue. So Mississippi was one of only 4 states in our country that literally did nothing with our juvenile lifers. Most states converted their sentences automatically to life with parole after X amount of years. Mississippi said they were going to bring them back one by one and resentence them, but they were never put on court dockets. Our loved one was transferred out of 3 different prisons across 6 different years, never went before a judge, no attorney ever showed up. He never met the attorney that they said he had. It was really hard. So We did a lot of fundraising out here to get him an attorney, and we got him an attorney. His resentencing hearing was May 28th, just 2 months ago, and Judge Emfinger out of Madison County resentenced him to life without parole again, which is not supposed to happen. And I started realizing that Judge Emfinger's done this to every juvenile that's gone before him, giving them life without parole. Nobody's getting second chances in Mississippi. And the racial disparity in Mississippi amongst these juvenile lifers are 92% of them are black boys. And that really bothered me, especially because, you know, Dante's black and he's a family member. My mother calls him her son. So it's very personal to our family. And I just decided after May 28th that we had to stand up. And then it became bigger than that. I started connecting with other people who have loved ones incarcerated and realizing it's not just the issue of juvenile life without parole. It's there's a lot of issues going on. From nonviolent to violent offenders, all the way to, you know, everything. So we've really just resourced and connected, and ever since then, it's just taken off. And really, God's led the movement for us. I really feel like God's led this movement for us, and I'm so excited to come to Mississippi next week and be there for this.
All good. I want to say for those who called in, but also for the guys on the inside, this is the lady who took the time to call candidates, research. Trying to figure out who was the one that was for prison reform, who was the one that had you guys' best interest. She's been instrumental in doing a lot of things, and we recently talked to Felicia P. Williams just yesterday about her stance on that, and we might get a chance to get an opportunity to hear her speak on it today. I just want to thank you for what you've been doing and what you've done so far, and what you vow to continue to do. And I told these guys, and a few of them got a chance to hear you yesterday, but it's amazing to know that we actually have people that are serious about this, and you know their hearts are here. So, on behalf of the guys on the inside, I want to thank you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You're welcome. And I will tell you this: I'm almost complete with a sample ballot. My main objective was to make sure that everybody in Mississippi that's voting in the next two votes, I want them to know who backs our issues, who cares about criminal justice reform, who cares about prison conditions. So I've taken the time to call every single candidate from every portion of the ballot, I mean hundreds of people, and spoken to them. And the ones that are receptive to me, I've documented that, and I'm making a sample ballot highlighting every single person from governor all the way down to sheriff of who cares about these issues. So I will definitely provide you guys with a sample ballot highlighting all of our picks. And Felicia told me to go ahead and just call in whenever you guys are ready, just so you know. I have her kind of on standby.
Okay, just send me a text and probably about another 20 minutes and we'll be able to get her in.
Wonderful.
I just want to say I appreciate you again. I really do.
Hey, anything y'all need,
also,
I'm right here.
I do want to say also, because like I said one show earlier, as far as the candidate, we are a group of people who believe in whoever's doing right, whoever has the right agenda, whoever shows that they you know, basically vows to do the right thing during that time in office. That's who we vote for. A lot of people have the wrong idea of how to vote, and I just wanted to make that known, because Mr. Waller has been somebody that was, you know, speaking highly on prison reform, and I do want to notate that and let the callers and listeners know that these are two candidates that we really look at as people who have prison reform on their mind. Is there anything you want to say also, Kathy?
Yeah, one thing I will add, and then I'll pass it on, is I've been speaking to a lot of the different candidates for governor. I've spoken to every candidate on the ballot, almost the ones that were responsive. Some of them were non-responsive, like Tate Reeves. I could not get him for anything. But Mr. Waller's campaign was one of the best campaigns I've been with. You know, him and Felicia really just have been amazing for us in talking about the issues. In fact, right before I just called into the show, I got off the phone with somebody from Mr. Waller's campaign just right before I called in here. And so they're very receptive, and they're listening to your concerns and their issues. And I will tell you this, I know a lot of people that are Democrats, they, you know, if you're a Democrat, you vote straight Democrat. You're Republican, you vote straight Republican. A lot of people vote straight ticket. We can't do that anymore. That's not working. And we've got to be able to know who we're voting for and who's for the issues. If you have a Democratic candidate under Jim Hood, who's very dangerous for what you guys need. He's very dangerous. So, you know, Bill Waller, is the best Republican person on the Republican side. If you have people that just vote straight, you know, Bill Waller's amazing on the Republican ticket for criminal justice reform issues. And I will be sitting down and speaking with his team if he's elected governor too. So just so you guys know that, I have the best, chance of fighting for you guys with a team of people that's receptive and cares about, and is a godly team of people. And these people care. Felicia Williams is amazing, and she truly cares. Felicia prayed for our loved one in prison. I mean, she's got a heart of gold, and I appreciate her for everything she's doing. I know she's up against the Goliath, but she's a wonderful person, y'all. She really is. And thank you. Thank you so much, Damian.
Thank you, too. That is true. I do want people to know that, this situation with Jim Hood is a monetary situation. This guy has a lot of power because he has a lot of people with money that's backing him. These political races are very, very serious, and we have to find ways to know what people's hidden agendas are. We just can't go and vote because this person looked this way or sounds this way. We have to vote because we've researched and found out that for this many years, this person has voted against everything that was beneficial to you, and that's a no-no. But you know, we're going to talk about that on the next show also, because we're going to continue this thing, because we're trying to get these guys registered to vote. Mr. Kenneth Glasgow, I think that's his last name, Glasgow, Pastor Kenneth Glasgow is going to be instrumental in helping us with that also. But moving on to the show, I do want to I do want to introduce y'all to somebody. I'm going to catch a slipping real quick. She might be talking. Mom.
I'm here. I'm here now.
Okay. Okay, all good. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. Okay, I'm going to do it right. All right. Guys, this is the woman who I instantly became fond of calling her mom, because her whole aura is that of somebody who cares, somebody that loves, somebody that's very focused and very understanding. And it's amazing what you guys have done. It's amazing how you wasn't selfish with your acts. You took upon your opportunities and connections to try to help guys as a whole. And it means a lot to these guys, but I want to make sure that they know why. With that being said, Mom, you have the floor.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I am Mama Canada. My name is Malaika, but I am the mother of Zaylin Barker, who's down there with you. So, hey, that makes up family. We all in the family right now. He's in 30. He's in building, you know, in, over there in building B-Zone. But y'all look after my boy. Y'all look after my boy. Okay. But I want to tell you a little thing about me. My name, my son, who was wrongfully convicted, he was forced to plead guilty to life sentence. And y'all know life in Parchman, in the MDOC, is until you turn 65. But they had the death penalty over my baby. So he was forced to plead guilty so that we can fight in another arena. So I understand where you guys are. And I want to first stop this and tell you guys from me that I'm sorry. I want to apologize to you guys for ignorance, because that's what it is. We have to call it for what it is. The ignorance of our people, and that's as a nation, as a whole, for not stepping up to protect you guys, for not thinking about you guys and saying that y'all matter too. And what I'm doing, I'm on a mission to make that stop. Yes, my son is there, and I want him to be in the best shape. I do understand someone said, but they're not on vacation. No, you're not on vacation, but you're human. You're not numbers. And that's the thing with what we're trying to do, and what I'm dedicating my life to do, is to make sure that it's changed. It's going to be changed in Parchman. This ain't something that I'm just saying that may be. I want you to know, guys, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to die trying to get it done for you. I'm not just in it for my son. I'm in it for a whole. I had to ask God, what is my purpose? What's my purpose in life? I've been asking for 15 years. He finally has allowed me to know what my purpose is. And I received that. This is my ministry. And I walk in that. I asked God also when my son was done like this, and I tell people he was modern day Nick, because that's what they're doing. They're missing you guys. They're forgetting that slavery is over. So what I'm going to do for them, I'm going to buy a sign, a couple of billboards, and put a billboard up all throughout Mississippi that say we're free now, because they don't know that we're free. So that's my whole objective, to let them know that we're free and we're going to stand up for ourselves. And ain't nothing you can do about it. We ain't scared. This is not slavery. And it's going to stop. Conditions are going to change. I don't know how long it's going to take, guys, but we're going to work on it. My team is going to work on it. I formed the Zaylin Barker Foundation. I want you to have all your families to go on there. Share my email. Call me. Text me. Whatever you need to do, hit me up in my inbox. Whatever you need to do so that I can know what's going on there. I will be your voice. I am your voice. So it's not just about my son. Understand that. My son will be coming home because he was wrongfully convicted. Even though it wasn't any gun, the gunpowder residue wasn't on my son. Fingerprints belong on the gun belong to somebody else. And they still set my son up for it. Even though the medical examiner coroner said the person that shot was right-handed, my son is left-handed. We got eyewitness statements saying he wasn't there, but they didn't care. But see, these were my friends. The district attorney, the judges, they were my friends. I had to learn a valuable lesson, a very valuable lesson. And through that lesson, I will make sure that it's a difference there. And guess what? What are the odds of my son being in parchment? I'm telling you, I cried like a baby. I was like, what? Oh, no. But guess what, guys? I understand God told me he had to be there so that you can have an insight on what's going on the inside. I needed to know that. So y'all look out now. Protect my baby one more time. But I'm here to do whatever you need for me to do, and we're definitely going to do it. So that's pretty much it for my part for right now. But that's who I am.
I want you to, you know, I ain't finna let you be through. I want you to talk to these guys about what to look forward to on the rally, as far as the loved ones who called in, the family members and things like that, and those guys on the inside, about just what's going to be done at the rally and some of the people that's going to be coming out.
Absolutely. What we're doing that day of that rally, we're going to have all these politicians. We're going to have people that's running for governor, for attorney general, the ones that are running for Senate, House of Representatives. They're all going to be there. We're going to have people that are actually part of the MDOC system that's going to be there. We're going to be there. We're going to be letting your voices be heard. We're going to be your voice. I'm going to read something that's coming from you guys. I'm going to have the pictures. That is all the bad stuff, everything that you guys have sent it to me on making flyers. Well, we're going to be questioning them. They can't run with your face to face. And I'm the one that's not scared to ask. So it's going to be a lot of networking with them to say, hey, what do you think about this issue? What do you think about the conditions in Parchment? What are you going to do to change? We're going to be videoing them so they can't lie. You know, they can always lie when you're talking to them on the phone. But when you have them on video, you're able to get what they say and say, hey, well, no, you said this. This is what you said. We're going to be networking with different organizations. We got Bishop Todd Irving, who's coming from Long Beach, California. He's over the Struggling Real Foundation. He's actually a part of Rainbow Push Coalition. He has so many achievements under his belt. His assistant is Stacy O. Y'all can look her up. She's a producer, and she's wonderful, you guys. She creates so many shows that you guys watch on TV all the time, especially the reality shows. She creates some of the shows in Vegas. She's an awesome person, and these people are working for you guys for pro bono. Just think, they're not asking us for anything. People that's not asking for anything, that's dedicated to making a change in Mississippi. I wish I could tell you guys that the people in Mississippi, everybody I went to was receptive of what I'm trying to do. They're not. They're not. And it amazes me that we're not as receptive. And just about everybody I know in a household has someone that's in prison, has someone that's been affected by the justice reform, that there's the non-existence of the justice reform.
Amen.
So reach out to your family. Reach out to them and tell them, hey, enough is enough. If you can't say it, call her. She can say it because she ain't said to say it. Tell me, get in contact with me. Send me the pictures, whatever y'all need me to do. They're going to be there. We have the ACLU that's going to be there for the Teen Challenge. Kathy can kind of like help with all the ones, but we have the Mississippi Center for Justice. It's so many other ones. We have other victim families that are going to speak out on that day. After I leave there, I'm going straight to the MDOC headquarters. See, once we leave there in Rankin County, in front of the courthouse, we're going to the MDOC headquarters, and we're asking for answers there as well. That's part of our thing. We're addressing my major work. I'm going to also be there that Sunday, but after I leave there, I'm planning on networking. I'm rallying. I think I'm meeting with the one we have, the Black Panthers, who are actually on the call with us. They're listening on here, too. So the Black Panthers are going to be there. They protect me everywhere I go. I promise you. I love them. The New Black Panther Party is a wonderful organization, and they're really moving things in Mississippi. So I do want you to know that you guys have the love and you have the support, and we do have the people that's listening now. It was hard at first because I got to be honest with you guys. I didn't know living conditions was that bad. Don't get me wrong. I do have family members that are in different facilities. My brother was down there. He did 17 years for something he didn't do. It took us 17 years to get him out. I mean, I done had a lot of family. My ex-husband, we have a lot of people that was down there at certain times, but conditions has gotten so much worse now, we didn't know. That's not something that the media show us. Only thing they show us is all the bad stuff. What I'm asking you guys to do is to stay positive. stay focused on our main goal. I know that conditions are bad, but if we can keep everything at a minimum so that we can be positive in the media, when I come to them, I need to be able to say, you see what they're doing that's different. You say they're monsters, but look at what they're doing. This is things that I need them to see. So everything that we do, let's try to keep it. So they're trying to upset you guys. They're trying to provoke anger. And you can't let them do that. They know exactly what they're doing. When they took out conjugal visits, what they want y'all to do. I'm just trying to see. I don't know what they want y'all to do. You're frustrated. They want to take your visitation from you. What they want y'all to do. I'd be mad, too. If I'm being honest. I'd be mad, too. But that's what they want.
Real.
And you have to understand that. Everything they're doing is a psychological warfare that they're doing with you guys. And you have to stay away from that and continue to stay positive no matter what they do, because they want you to act up. They want you to be in trouble. And you have to let them know that it's not going to be that way. So I'm asking you guys, if we cannot riot, we cannot do the killing, we cannot do so, even though you're frustrated, we have to stay where we're humble, okay, so that we'll have a better chance of fighting for what you guys need and what you guys want.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. All good. She does a little fussing too, but I'm kind of, I ain't going to let her get out on that little bit right now, but.
I fucked a little bit just a few minutes ago.
Mama,
I fucked a little bit.
Mama,
yes, sir.
I'm going to put on blast too. Teresa said you preaching.
Look, tell her, listen, my husband already said next you're going to be preaching. I'm like, what? Yeah, he
listen,
said the same thing. I'm just, look, tell her I'm teaching.
Yes, ma'am. We all continue to teach because that's what needs to be done with society now. Kathy just texted me. I think we have Miss Felicia P. Williams ready. I'm going to bring her in, Mom. Give me a second. To those who are listening right now, we have yeah, it's very loud in the box. It's always like that. We just allow the guys, you know, enjoy themselves and have a good time. But for those who are listening, this is a Democratic candidate for governor, Mrs. Felicia P. Williams. I got to know this. Kathy.
I'm right here.
All good. Is Miss Felicia ready?
You ready for it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, here she comes. Hold on.
All good. Get down. Stay ready. I don't know what's going on. Y'all be patient with her. We striving, y'all. We are striving.
Felicia's on.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
All
how
right,
doing?
Doing very well. Doing very
good
well, thank you. How you all doing?
We're doing all right. I wanted to allow you first to introduce yourself to the guys, and then if you didn't mind, I wanted to ask a few questions on the behalf of the guys, if that's okay.
All right. That's
all right.
Perfectly okay. All right.
Okay,
well, greetings. I greet you all with love, the love of Jesus Christ. This is Felicia P. Williams, Democratic candidate for governor. How is everybody doing?
Great.
All right.
Great.
All right. That's a blessing. Certainly feel free to ask me any questions, but just let everybody know, you know, August 6th is a historical time. We have an opportunity to do something extraordinary on behalf of Mississippi. The being able to vote is the opportunity to achieve something that we have not achieved in the past. And so one of the issues that I'm sure is of interest to you guys is my stance of desire for criminal justice reform. But in addition to that, you know, I believe we can have affordable health care for all, quality education. We can have a stable infrastructure, as well as ensuring that we lift our economy and protect our environment. And these are things that I'm going to be working toward. And so I want to just, rather than give my spiel, let you guys ask the questions and so that I can address those things that are important and dear to your heart.
Oh, good. I was waiting on my boy back to hit me, or my other guy to hit me. But I got a few right now, and one of those are in the prison system. In the prison system in the state of Mississippi, guys who are convicted of, well, individuals who are convicted of armed robbery, and you have other individuals who are convicted of other crimes where they time is considered mandatory, which means they have to do day for day. They don't get good time, you know, for anything that they do that's positive and productive. But the thing about that is, it's part of the reason why the prison is overpopulated, because at some point in 2014, they fixed it to where guys who got convicted after a certain time could get good time, and guys who got convicted before this time couldn't. So it was like a really unjust thing. And now these same guys who are seemingly, you know, in their mind frame stuck, which we believe is going to be a possibility, and it's going to happen. These guys are working. They're working. They're going to classes. They're staying positive. They're not getting in any type of trouble, but they're not receiving any type of good time for that. And the guys are wanting to know, like, this is obviously not fair. Is that something that you would be able to work on if you were elected?
Well, one of the things that I'm committed to doing is looking at the criminal justice system as a whole and working on needed reforms. What I would like to see done is put a commission or have a team that specifically deals with criminal justice reform to look at the disparities that exist within the system. As it relates to not only sentencing, but probation bail. It would include, you know, time served or good time and all those issues. What I want to do is with the disparities that exist. So if, in fact, what I'm hearing you say is that there has been changes in the law that allows folks who have been sentenced under a different time frame to receive good time, and others were not allowed to be grandfathered into that new policy. Those those are issues or disparities that we have to look at and bring some equity about it. So that's certainly something that would be a part of the reform effort, is to see those things and to address those things that don't make logical sense and that doesn't fit what we're trying to accomplish. One of the things that I want is that we cultivate and change the culture to make it a rehabilitative more than a punitive process. Because from my perspective, being incarcerated is the punishment. And the taking away a person's liberty in the sense of being incarcerated. So, but we've got to prepare people to come back into society and be successful in that effort, or we're just wasting time and we're contributing to recidivism rate when we don't prepare people to come out and integrate into society. So that's why I think we have to have a cultural change in the way we look at how we want to deal with those who have been incarcerated. I hope that answers
yes, ma'am.
The question.
Great. I have another question for you. This one is something that I know they probably expected for me to ask. The living conditions. The living conditions, I want to also say that guys are seeking an investigation so that they can prove that the living conditions play a part in psychological health issues, as well as some of the issues of cancer and stuff like that being caused in the system. How would you attack that?
Well,
if you were elected?
Well, again, I think you alluded to it. You know, when you are the way we incarcerate folks, the conditions not only impact them physically, but they impact them mentally. So if we're concerned about a person's mental and physical health, we've got to be prepared to deal with that, because, again, that all leads to having a successful reintegration into society. So if we're going to be serious about the fact that we want those coming out of jail, out of prison, get back into society and be successful, we have to make sure that we're doing the things that's going to make that success possible. And so the conditions, and I think that many of the issues as it relates to those kind of things are under federal investigation in regards to making sure that we're in compliance. And in a lot of cases, I just know that we have in Hinds County that there, you know, have issues and out of compliance. And so the necessity to make sure that we are in compliance speaks to some of those issues or concerns. So conditions, living conditions, yes, that has to be something that gets addressed. I know that the expectation that, you know, prison is not intended to be, a luxury, you know, hotel, but I know that it's far from that, and that we are talking about human, healthy conditions, and we're not trying to treat people like animals. And some people feel like that's how folks ought to be treated, but I don't. As long as a person is a human being, they ought to be treated as such. And we need to make sure that our conditions in our prison system are to standard, and that we are doing our best to reintegrate folks into society. And that's making sure that their physical and mental health has not been degraded or distorted while they're in prison, just because we haven't provided a livable condition.
Yes, ma'am. One last quick question. Let's go to one of my guys right here. He said to ask you, I spoke on recidivism earlier, and that's the main problem in the state of Mississippi. What ways do you see that Mississippi, or things that Mississippi could do, as you say, Mississippi, the state of Mississippi can do to fix it where guys who are released from prison have a better opportunity to get jobs and not be discriminated upon?
Well, a couple of things. One is that there are states who have been successful in saying that on a job application, just as you cannot ask for a person's age or you can't ask a person certain questions on an application, if we eliminate it, if a person has been convicted of a crime, if we eliminated that, that would be one opportunity. The other thing is, and I'm a firm believer in that, when people have paid their debt to society and they walk out of the prison gate, that they have and should have their rights restored. It should not have to take a process. It ought to automatically happen, because I know that when we talk about tax without representation, we've already fought that battle. And when a person comes out of prison and we are, they're paying taxes when they buy a vehicle or when they buying groceries and different things. So we need to make sure that we provide those things. We can do simple things and change the law. The other big thing that I think is important is the preparation. I cannot speak enough about the fact that we have got to prepare folks to come out of prison. And the way we do that is we can be making sure that I know that some things are being done, but it's not consistent across correctional facilities, that we can make sure that folks are receiving educational opportunities, apprenticeship opportunities, that they can learn a trade. And the way we give them practice, and this is part of the plan of how we think outside of the box. I think that in the restoration of our infrastructure, we can be planning and preparing young folks coming out of prison and knowing that they're going to be preparing to come out. We can be giving them the tools and stuff, and we can use that labor now by helping to restore our infrastructure. And so real practice on real issues that we need help with. So whether it's construction, whether it's dealing with roads and so forth. So we put that the labor that's available to work, and that gives skills that they can have, certifications that they can have coming out so that they will be ready for work when they do get released. So if we take away the constraints that we do with, job applications, if we provide the training that's needed, and if, in fact, that we restore rights, those are three areas, I think, that will help them be successful in reintegrating into society.
Yes, ma'am. That's amazing. Is there anything else that you would like to say? I want to give you 2 minutes to the guys that's listening, to the voters, the family members, and loved ones that's called into the show.
Okay. Well, I just want you all to know that, I am committed to serving all Mississippians with love and compassion and moving my words to action. I have over 30 years of leadership and service to my country, state, and community. A former officer in the United States Army, a former teacher, taught second and fourth grade, limited service in our Jackson Public School District, and I'm a retiree from Jackson State University, where I directed and served as principal investigator for several federal and state-funded programs. I believe my life journey has been purposed for such a time as this. I'm committed to doing things in such a way. And I tell folks, I rested on three simple words, all here now. I want to serve all Mississippians around all our issues here in the state of Mississippi, all 82 counties. And I don't want to wait. I think the time is now. So I want it all. I want it here, and I want it now, and I want it on behalf of fellow Mississippians. So when you go to the poll August 6th, or when you absentee vote, you'll see that I'm in the seventh position, the divine number seven. Vote Felicia P. Williams. You might not can remember the name, but I'm the only female in the race. My name is Felicia P. Williams, but you can always remember the seventh position, number seven, shaded in. Thank you for this opportunity to share, and God bless each of you, and, keep looking up, because I serve a God who's able to do all things.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Williams.
Thank you
all. All the time. God. Everybody that's listening, that was Ms. Felicia P. Williams, the Democratic Party candidate for governor. It's a blessing to have someone in a race who has the opportunity to bring about change on our show, to give a chance to tell us her side and how she feels about the questions that we have. On behalf of the guys, I just want to say thank you to her. I want to do this real quick before we get ready to close the show. Jalen Baker, Barker, excuse me. I know I'm cussing right now. That ain't my baby name. I know. Jalen Barker Foundation. The new Black Panther Party, FAM, which is Family Against Mandatory Minimums, Big House Books, Concerned Citizens of Justice, Save Our Youth, Clergy for Prison Reform, Hits 92.3 out of Atlanta, Georgia, The Struggle is Real Foundation, Pastor Kenneth Glasgow, Bishop Todd Irvin, Juan Barnett, Felicia P. Williams, Zakiya Summers. These are people who are going to be out in this rally. Also Bill Waller and so many more names. These are people who sponsor and people who's going to be there, people who are going to be candidates. They're going to be asked questions, groups that have supported this movement. We're asking everybody, every concerned citizen, taxpayer, in the state of Mississippi, if you are online, if you know people that want to be a part of this event, or people that are blind to the truth and want to know the truth and got questions and want answers, we're asking you all to come out to this prestigious event. It's very monumental and historical, and a lot of people's opinion, especially mine, because this is an opportunity for people to come together and bring about change. We're striving to bring change within the Mississippi penal system. We're trying to stop death. Unnecessary illnesses. We're trying to tackle these living conditions. We're trying to save these guys' lives and give them what they really deserve, a chance to rehabilitate and change. Again, I want to elaborate on the fact that these are guys that are willing to change and they have stepped forward and done a lot of things to show that they are capable of this and have already changed. Kathy McComber, I want to tell you I thank you. Mama Canada, I want to thank you also. But I also want to say thank you to Stephen Harris, Amanda Hamilton, because those two names haven't been mentioned. And these are the other two people who are the people that helped bring forth this movement, this We Say No More campaign. Pastor Glasgow, I want to say this before we get ready to close out. He was someone that was instrumental in the Alabama movement. And Florida also, we're getting guys registered to vote. This is something very important. This is something that the candidates need to know. These guys on the inside are reformed, and they're reformed to the point that they have enough common sense to know that there's power in the vote. So they took the steps to reach out and request to be able to be registered to vote, which is that's their right. And Mr. Glasgow is not only going to do that, he's going to let these guys know how their rights have been violated. So we appreciate him for that. I want to make sure I say that. I don't think he was able to be on today, so on the behalf of him, I feel real good about saying that. Also, Pastor Bishop Corey out of Africa, who will be here giving a very, very powerful speech on the rally on July the 29th, 2019, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. It will be held at the Rankin County Justice Courthouse at 215 East Government Street in Brandon, Mississippi, 39042. For those people who are going to be using GPS to try to get there, it's not going to be a difficult thing, but I'm going to repeat it at the Rankin County Justice Courthouse, address 215, that's 215, East, as in the opposite of West, Government Street. And that's Brandon, Brandon, Mississippi, 39042. Again, July the 29th, 2019, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. We're going to have some people on our behalf. You're going to see who our mom is, and we're going to be able to recognize her. She's going to make it known. I appreciate her. Kathy, I appreciate you. Stephen and Amanda. Ms. Felicia P. Williams, we especially want to thank you also for your time. And for all you callers who called in, we thank you. We appreciate you for joining in on the movie 720. I'm your host, OG Bim Bim. What we handle is business. We believe that positive people do positive and productive things here. This has been the Movement 728 episode for this season, and we're very grateful and thankful for the opportunity to bring a show of this magnitude
to the ears of the listeners and the hearts of those who care. We want to thank the guys on the inside for being courageous. We're going to continue to fight for you guys. We love you guys. Don't give up hope. And rest in peace to our brother K. Riller. We love y'all. Good night.